Hi everyone, this is Klaatu and this is Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, you're going to hear Pokey, you know Pokey, Pokey being led through at the install of Sonar Linux by Sonar's creator, Jonathan. So Sonar is a Linux distribution designed specifically for blind users and in many ways other users as well, with accessibility needs that just aren't usually met by an operating system by default. So this is a very cool project. You've probably already heard about it, so I'm not going to dwell on it. And besides, Pokey and Jonathan will discuss it a little bit in what you're about to hear. But I did want to kind of comment on this episode in general, because it's a topic that is kind of important, I think. It's certainly important to me. But I have a slightly unique position in all of this, because I know someone who is blind. I was raised by a blind person. So it's kind of one of those issues that, yeah, it would be important to me, right? Obviously it's important. I've got that blind person in my life, and I've had friends who are blind. I've got friends of friends who are blind. It's easy for me as, like, Klaatu, who had this life experience, to be interested in this kind of topic. Okay. To that end, I want to talk a little bit about, and this is going to sound like a little bit of a digression, but there's a point here. I want to talk a little bit about something that I noticed myself just a couple of weeks ago. I was invited out to a basketball game, of all things, at a high school. Someone's younger sister was playing in a basketball game. Normally, I would not be caught dead at a basketball game. Please don't misunderstand me. This was an exception I made because the person inviting me is a very cute girl that I wanted to hang out with. So we go to this basketball game to watch this sport, and it turned out that the two teams involved was one high school student or group, one high school team versus another high school team, and one of those high school teams was the high school team of a school for deaf teenagers. And so it was very interesting to me because I was watching these people do sports, thinking, how cool would it be if I finally got around to that one thing that's always been on my list, to go learn sign language? Because I know a couple of people who know sign language, and it always seemed like a really good skill to have. But as usual, you kind of fall back into your excuse mode, and you're like, well, if I learned sign language, who would I even talk to? I don't know anyone who's deaf. Who would I practice with? It wouldn't be very easy to really become conversational with it. And so you deprioritize it almost as quickly as you are inspired to make it a priority. And then I kind of thought about that for the next week or two. And I thought, well, mightn't it be that if I learned sign language, instead of just having this skill that I would never possibly be able to use, what if in fact I had this skill that would then make it possible and maybe even inspire me to go meet more deaf people? Might that be the case? And in fact, I think it would be. I think that if I finally got around to learning sign language, I might actually be able to, I mean, now I could talk to deaf people. I could meet deaf people. Even if you're sitting there, or if I'm sitting here, and we're thinking, well, this computer project Sonar is really important. We recognize that. We're modern, progressive people, and we want people to be able to use computers. That's why a lot of us are using Linux. You know, it's kind of an important topic for us, so in spirit we support it, but at the same time it's not a huge priority for me. I'm not going to put money towards the Indiegogo project for Sonar to get off the ground, which, by the way, is located at indiegogo.com/sonar, because it's not something that I could really use. I'm not blind, I'm not deaf, I don't know any blind people, I don't know any deaf people, so it's something for other people. But now think about it, think about what would happen if you learned more about Sonar, if you supported Sonar, and maybe even downloaded a disk image and installed it yourself, like Pokey is doing here. Well, Pokey's cheating because he has Jonathan helping him. But what if you did that and you learned a lot about accessibility, and you learned why audible tones are annoying for you if you are deaf because you can't hear them, and a flashing screen giving you notifications a lot better. Or think about what would happen if you're blind, you have no monitor. It certainly does help to have that screen reader on all the time. That sort of thing. Think of how many people you could probably meet later on in life and be able to talk to them in ways that are intelligent about computer usage. You could tell them, hey, look, I'm not blind, I'm not deaf, I'm not whatever, but it's this great distribution called Sonar, and you can install it from the very moment that you download it and burn it to a disk. You can pop it into your computer and install it and then start using it, and it will meet all of your needs, or it will meet these needs and you might still have to tweak this or that. That's a whole new level of kind of guruism that we kind of are ignoring, I think. At least a lot of us are ignoring. I know I certainly am. I'm ignoring based on the fact that I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. I don't need this right now, so I'm not going to bother with it. But who knows? Maybe we do need it right now. Maybe it's something that we should look into. Maybe we'll meet someone really cool later on because we know this kind of stuff. Maybe we'll be able to talk more intelligently about it later on. If any of this interests you or kind of makes you think that some of this is more important than you might think, you know, more important than just have you got someone who's blind in your life, maybe you don't need that in order to prioritize the Sonar Linux project. So think about that if you want. Also listen to the rest of this episode because Pokey and Jonathan are going to embark on a journey to get this thing installed. Let's see how it goes. And remember to stop by indiegogo.com/sonar to show some support. And yes, by support I mean cold hard cash. indiegogo.com/sonar.
Alright, you ready to start then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna switch monitors now, so it'll be the point of no return.
Did you already boot the disk up, or you haven't even done that yet?
Nope, you get to hear it booting up. Everybody, okay. Everybody does.
Now, which one did you burn?
We're all so gonna, I know what, actually, I burned know. A whole bunch of them, but the one that is working for me, and it's not your fault. I always have trouble booting Ubuntu. The one that is working for me is a 1210, the i386 version.
Okay, just so I know what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I tried 1304 beta. That hung up on some of the boot scripts. Now, just to explain to the listener here, you told me that there's sort of a bug where it doesn't like to boot without a monitor plugged in. So I just got to the holding page where it would say Ubuntu, and then the little graphic goes on as you wait for something to happen. And I turned my monitor off there, so hopefully it'll continue. So for the listener, just to explain what's going on here, I'm Pokey, you guys know me, and Jonathan's here. Hey, Jonathan.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. it's a kind of a co-op thing here. So for those who don't know, Jonathan Nadeau is a blind Linux user. Yep, booted up there. Here comes Orca in a minute or two. This is kind of a slow computer. Jonathan is a blind Linux user, and he's been working with Linux and working to try to make it more accessible for quite some time now. He's got a lot of his personal time invested in this, and he does a lot for
Welcome to Orca Screen Reader Frame. Preferences push button.
There you go. Orca's up and running.
Okay. And did you understand what it just said there?
Yeah, Orca Screen Reader Preferences button. So right now, if you press Enter, it would bring you into the Orca preferences mode where you can change a myriad of things within Orca. You can set what type of keyboard you're using if you're on a laptop or desktop, because depending on if you're using a desktop or a laptop, it'll matter because certain keys are certain places on either keyboard configuration. So you can set the keyboard configuration. You know, you can set whether or not you want to see that Orca dialog box pop up every time. You can turn it on or off. If it turns off, it'll just boot up right into the desktop, and you'll see the icons on the desktop or whatever.
Right on.
And you can change just, I mean, we can get into it at some other point or whatever you want, but you can change everything.
Yep, yeah, no, I want to come back to it. I want to explain what's going on first, though. So, yeah, Jonathan does a lot for the community, for the Linux community, and for the community that needs accessibility built into their computers. And accessibility, well, I think the biggest need is for the blind community, since so much of the computer is done through the monitor, that if you can at least see the monitor, there's a lot of workarounds. But if you can't see the monitor, you're kind of hard up, and it kind of puts you in a bad situation in our society completely these days. So, you know, the big thing is getting the computer to work when you can't see it. Now, there's a whole bunch of other accessibility that Jonathan's working on. He may be blind to the light spectrum that most of the rest of us take for granted, but he's not blind to the fact that there's a lot of other people that have a hard time using computers besides just folks who can't see. So he does a lot of good work there. I am not blind. I don't have any handicaps other than, you know, my own self-imposed ones, which, you know, we all have. But I'm going to try being blind tonight. I'm going to try to install this with no monitor, with you know, as if I were a blind user without looking at a screen at all. So I've got my monitor turned off on this computer now, and you just heard the computer boot up. I got my mic right next to the speakers here. It's a little bit of a kludgy setup so that the podcast will work. But I'm going to see if I can even get through an install and maybe try using the computer even just a little bit without the use of a screen whatsoever. And, you know, see how difficult this is. And I'd really appreciate it. I know a Linux install is not the most exciting podcast, especially for an experienced user. But if you can stick around just to see what folks have to go through every day. And the real purpose for this is that Jonathan has got a fundraiser going right now on what's the fundraiser website?
It's Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. I always think Kickstarter. This is Indiegogo.
Yeah. Yep.
.com?
Yeah, it's Indiegogo.com/sonar. That brings you right to my, fundraising campaign site.
Okay. So Jonathan has put in so much personal time and personal money and effort into making this work for several years now, and it's time that the rest of us jumped in and helped out. And Jonathan's looking for a little bit of money on this Indiegogo startup page, and we got somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 downloads a day for Hacker Public Radio. And if everyone who downloads this podcast and listens this far, well, I don't know about listen to it, but if everyone who downloads this podcast went to Indiegogo.com/sonar and donated $5, Jonathan's goal would be met. He's trying to get 20 grand up here, money to be used towards development time for himself and for other developers. I mean, this is not all, you know, I don't, because we talked last night, Jonathan, this isn't all money in your pocket.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm hoping some of it goes in your pocket, because I know that you're working hardcore in this and you're developing this. From what I can tell, it sounds like you're doing it full time on top of several other full time activities.
Yeah, it's definitely keeping me busy. And, you know, I'd like to add in a couple of things here quickly. Like, you know, I've pretty much, I think, done almost everything I can on my own. So that's the need for raising the money, is to get people outside of myself to really bring it the last mile kind of type of thing. And, you know, whatever changes and advancements are made within Sonar, everything will be pushed upstream, and every other distribution will benefit from any advancements that are made with any assistive technology. So I want to make sure that, you know, people know that Sonar isn't going to hoard any of, you know, any changes that are made. I'm a strong believer in pushing everything back upstream, so that way everyone benefits. So I just want to make sure that's clear too.
Right on, right on. So, you know, I think it's probably safe to assume we're all, you know, everyone listening right now is familiar with the concept of free software, and Jonathan is very much a free software advocate.
Yes.
I mean, and I will vouch for that personally. I know I've known Jonathan a couple of years through the Linux community and through the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, and I will vouch for Jonathan as being a free software advocate. So, you know, I trust him implicitly with my donation that I've made, and I would just like to try to convince the Hacker Public Radio listeners to chip in here. So that's what the goal of this particular podcast is. And if what you've heard so far is enough, and you're ready to go donate and you don't really want to hear me try to install, that's fine. If you're curious about the install and to hear what it sounds like and you don't want to go through it yourself, that's what we're about to do. Or if you want to try and go through it yourself, but think you might want to, you know, hear a couple of the tips and tricks and pitfalls on our way there, that's what we're about to do. So, I don't know. You think that's enough upfront info there, Jonathan?
Oh yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to see you go through this.
Yeah, me too. I'm not quite sure. Okay, so the first thing is, I can already tell you I'm going to have a hard time understanding Orca if it keeps talking that fast at me.
And you know what, though? That's not even fast. That's at 50% speed.
So. No, I understand. I totally understand that someone who's used to hearing that, that's probably excruciatingly slow, and you're waiting for it to get on with it. But I'm completely unfamiliar with, you know, operating a system with no visual inputs here.
Yeah, no problem. And for the listeners too that are, you know, that'll hear this process, as you hear the voice, one of the things I want to do with, you know, raising the money for Sonar is I really am attempting to get a, you know, a more real human sounding voice than the, you know, the robot voice you're going to hear. So that's one of the things I want to do with raising the money is get a free software implementation of a good-sounding voice synthesizer. There are some that exist currently, but they're proprietary, and you have to pay license per user and things like that. So I want to completely skip that and create a completely free voice synthesizer that can be used by Orca and even other companies that might be interested in including, you know, voice synthesis in their devices and hardware. They would have a license-free synthesizer that they could use.
Right. So the bottom line is Orca's great. It's fantastic that something like Orca exists and can make the computer usable, but Orca sucks. It's old. It's very difficult to understand compared to other modern voice synthesizers, and we need a new one. We need a modern one that's easier to understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, we were at Pokies. You booted off the live disc.
Yep.
We heard the little Sonar, you know, intro thing as you log in. We heard Orca say, "Welcome to Orca," and you're on the preferences thing.
Okay.
So what we're gonna want to do is you could do one of two things. I guess we'll go with
I need to slow Orca down. That's the first thing I need to do.
Okay. All right. So I guess you'll want to press enter.
Orca screen reader frame preferences push button.
Okay. Orca screen reader frame preferences push button.
Yeah, I think you might need to push enter one more time.
Starting Orca preferences.
There you go.
Okay, Orca preferences. General page tab.
Okay, so general now you're on tab. The general page. Yeah, exactly. So now you'll right arrow.
And now, okay, so if I start arrowing around, am I switching tabs or am I moving around within the tab?
Picture, no, you'll be, right now you're in one tab, but when you right arrow over, you're going to be in another tab.
Okay, so, all right.
Voice page tab.
Okay, so now you're on the voice page. Now you're going to press the tab key.
Okay, and that'll move
and
me.
Start,
okay, yep.
And you'll start moving through the tab.
Yep, and that'll start moving me through the options inside the tab.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Voice type settings panel, voice type, default combo box.
So you'll go again, tab again.
I couldn't even understand what it said there.
Voice page settings. So right now you're on default. You want to leave that there. You don't want to bother with that.
Okay. What, does that change the sound of the voice?
No, not there.
Okay.
It'll change something different, but you can just leave that there.
Speech system. Speech dispatcher combo box.
So here it's the speech system.
Okay.
So the speech system is using speech dispatcher, which is the newest version of, basically Orca needs speech dispatcher to talk to the system. If there is no speech dispatcher, Orca wouldn't work.
Okay.
So there was a system before speech dispatcher, which was called Gnome Speech.
Yep.
But they deprecated that, and now speech dispatcher took over.
Is speech dispatcher, is that the voice itself, or is that what ties?
That's what ties everything together.
That's what ties the visual cues into.
Right. Even Mumble uses speech dispatcher.
Okay.
So.
Speech synthesizer, default synthesizer combo box.
Okay, so that's the synthesizer. That's
exactly
what makes the voice sound the way it does.
Yeah, exactly. So if we had a new one in here in this tab, you would arrow through to choose, like, you know, Sonar synthesizer, and then that would give you a better sounding voice.
Oh, so, this is what you were talking about. We need to work on.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is where we need some money, folks, to get a sexy British voice.
Exactly.
or we could pay Peter 64 and have a sexy Australian voice.
Good day.
Good day.
Person, default voice and combo box.
So right here it's actually the language. So it's on the default is English, but there's literally, if you went through this, there's, I'm guessing, 30 different languages Orca currently can use. So there's Chinese, Vietnamese, Russian, Slavic, Italian, excellent. Spanish, Scottish. There's all kinds of stuff in there. So
yeah, you don't have to try to remember all 30. If we got the new voice that you're talking about, would that have to be written to accept all the different languages, or are those a different piece and it would just plug into that naturally?
That I'm not sure. I almost want to say it would have to be completely redone, I think, unfortunately.
Just because there's different sounds in different languages that English doesn't
have. Exactly, right, right.
We got to get it to roll its R's like Ruben Rodriguez.
Exactly.
That guy was so cool. All right.
Right, Cyber 65.
Okay, here's your rate right here, so yep.
Now if I so arrow
you'll
left.
Left arrow and it'll decrease it.
64, 63, 62.
All right, that might be okay. How do I test it?
I guess really you would just kind of tab and see if you like how it sounds after that.
Okay.
Pitch, Cyber 5.0, volume, Cyber 10.0, global voice settings, panel, break speech into chunks between pauses, checkbox checked.
I think I can handle that. What was that about breaking pauses?
You can set Orca to like, you can tell it to like, if there's like a space or like a period, it can do its best at reading like a human would.
That's what I thought.
Or you can tell it, ignore the spaces, ignore the paragraph, just read flat out as fast as you can.
Oh, no, I can't handle that. No, okay, I think I can probably handle where it's at.
Speak multi-case strings at words.
Okay, so then just keep tabbing through, and you'll see it, apply changes, okay. So you just hit enter on that when you get to it.
Table by sentence, combo box.
I didn't understand a word of that.
Help, push button.
Then one more tab, there you go.
Auto user settings reloaded. Auto screen reader frame 1 unfocused dialogue.
Okay, so now you can do one of two things. You can either left click on your mouse,
okay,
do a left click on the mouse button, or on the number pad you can press on the number pad, not the top left button, but the one to the right of that.
That'd be 8. Well, 5 is the center button with the.
So like on the grid of number pad on the number pad, the top left hand button, one to the right, that performs a left mouse click.
Oh, okay, that's a forward slash on my numpad.
So you could press that.
Okay. Alright. I didn't get anything.
No, you didn't. Try a left mouse click on your mouse. There you go.
Okay. I had to move the mouse around a little bit.
Okay, so then now press the down arrow.
Create a new folder.
Oh, wait, you actually, like, right-clicked or something. Press the escape button on the keyboard.
Desktop frame. Icon new frame 0 items.
Now press the down arrow.
Okay.
Computer icon.
Press down again.
That's it.
Home icon.
Oh, there you go.
Press down one more time.
Trash icon.
Down two more times, probably.
Desktop configuration file icon. Install Sonat 12.10 configuration file icon.
Okay, I'm on the desktop.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm right on the desktop.
So now you're on the install sonar icon, so you can press enter.
I did, and I can hear the CD working.
Yeah, it's
no confirmation.
Depending on the computer, it can take however long.
Install frame.
There you go. Okay, so now, right now, and you're starting the install process, and you're choosing your language, and it's on English by default,
yep.
So you can press tab here.
Okay.
Quit push button.
Tab again.
What did that say?
It said quit.
Oh.
Continue push button, great.
There you go. And just press enter.
Okay. So
continue. Push button. Continue. Push button. So I use third-party software to play Flash, MP3, and other media, and to work with some graphics and Wi-Fi hardware. Some of this software is proprietary. The software is subject to license terms included with its documentation. Install this third-party software checkbox not checked.
Do not check that box.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Is there... Alright, so first thing, how do I get Orca to repeat what it just said? Is there a key to do that or something?
Yeah, I mean, normally what I do is I just like press tab and then press shift tab,
okay,
and that goes
with
back
push button. So I use third party software to play Flash, MP3,
got
and
it.
Other media,
okay.
And to work with some graphics and Wi-Fi hardware. Some of this software is proprietary. The software is subject to license terms included with its documentation. Install this third party software checkbox not checked.
Right.
And
okay.
My
next question is then, is this, it's mostly keyboard driven then? There's not a whole lot of mousing going on?
It's totally keyboard, no mouse at all.
Okay, alright. Now I was under the impression, I was assuming that when you move the mouse around, it would like tell you what's under the arrow, what's under the pointer, and what was on the screen. But
no, a lot of people don't realize that with the keyboard, you can literally do everything on a mouse with the keyboard. Like I was telling you, with like the numpad on a desktop, to the right one of the top left, that's a left mouse click. One to the right over is a right mouse click. And if you're using a laptop, you would press the caps lock key, and the number 7 would be a left click, and caps lock key, and the number 8 would be a right click.
Okay.
So here you can press the arrow key down.
All right, hold on a second. Let me get my... Okay, that was the...
Click button.
So you really... All right, so you have no idea what's on your screen unless you just kind of arrow around and tab around and try to figure
exactly.
it out.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's balls. All right. Let me see what I can do without being walked through. Let me see what I can do.
Okay, sure.
So I'm using third-party software to click with push button. Back push button, great. Continue push button.
And is there a way to get it to speak the window title at me?
I don't know what you mean.
Just to refresh my memory of what the hell's in the window already, other than the options. Like it seemed like every time it opened a new window, it would tell me what the window is that I'm working with.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that because I had the last computer system I saw was a Commodore 64, so I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm so used to doing this now, I can literally, you know, go through this like setup menu process in like 5 minutes. Like I just fly through it because I'm used to it.
What if I tried to like Alt Tab? Would that give me?
That might just bring you back to the desktop and like, you know what I'm saying?
And
like,
then you bring you back to this window.
Right.
Well, all right, let me try that and let me hear if it tells me.
Auto screen reader.
See, you're back at the desktop.
Backup inaccessible. Install.
There you go, now you're back on the...
Continue push button.
That's what I wanted. Okay, was the install frame. All right.
So I'm using third-party software with push button. Back push button. Continue push button.
All right.
0%.
And so here, like most people probably know, like with Ubuntu-based systems or whatever, here, as you start to fill out the next part of the system, it's really kind of installing stuff in the background as you're going. That's why it said 0%.
Yeah, yep.
You know?
Yep, no, this part is actually not hard to understand as a newly blind user because the CD makes the sound of a progress bar.
Exactly.
That's a joke for anybody.
Continue. Push button. Continue. Push button. Continue. Push button.
This computer currently has
multiple operating systems on it. What would you like to do? Panel install Sonar alongside them. Selected radio button. Erase disk and install Sonar. Selected radio button. Something else. Selected radio button.
Can I... spacebar? Will that select it or do I gotta hit enter on that?
You would hit enter.
Okay.
Panel. Combo box. /vent/SDA. Scroll pane. Table. Device column header /vent/SDA. Table. New partition table ... push button grade. Create new empty partition table on this device. You have selected an entire device to partition. If you proceed with creating a new partition table on the device, then all current partitions will be removed. Note that you will be able to undo this operation later if you wish. Go back push button.
Just so everyone understands and gets the warm fuzzies about this, this hard drive has some Windows on it. I don't know. This is a computer I found, so I get to wipe out Windows, and I feel good about that.
Well, you could have just went back. If you go back, instead of doing something else, there is an option that says erase entire disk.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I like to repartition. I want to.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like to put my home on a separate partition, and I want to see if I can get that done.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
You know, if it comes down to being, you know, hampered by, you know, the lack of my ability to see right now, then there's work to be done, and you know, that's what people need to understand.
Continue push button. Install frame. New partition table ... push button. Scroll pane.
All right, so scroll pane. Does that mean that's where I would scroll around if I was using the mouse?
Right.
And if I did that, would Orca tell me more?
To be honest with you, I've never tried. I never bothered because I never use a mouse, so I don't know.
Right, okay.
Table. Device column header /vent/SDA. Table. New partition table ... push button. Create new empty partition table on this device. You have selected an entire device to partition. If you proceed with creating a new partition table on the device, then all current partitions will be removed. Note that you will be able to undo this operation later if you wish. Go back push button. Continue push button. Install frame. New partition table ... push button. Scroll pane.
It's just telling me the same thing over and over again. I'm lost in the window. Who knows?
Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA. Table.
I think you'll click on SDA there to create the partition.
I think so. Well, hitting enter didn't do it. Hitting spacebar is not selecting it.
But try doing, using your num key again. Try, like I said, the top left-hand corner.
Yep.
And then go 2 to the right. That would perform a right click. Maybe you need to do that.
New partition table not push button. Table. Scroll pane. Install now push button. Back push button. Quit push button. Slash vent slash SDA combo box. Quit push button.
Okay, what does it mean when it says a combo box? Is there options inside that that I need to get at?
Yeah, well, you can try there on the combo box. Normally I hold the space bar down and then push the arrow key down.
Comes install frame. Quit push button.
No, okay.
Back push button. Install now push scroll pane. Table. Device column header free space.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Create partition size. MB type for the new partition. Location for the new partition. Use as mount point. Size 250,059. Selected spin button. Type for the new partition. Type for the new partition. Primary. Selected radio button. Location for the new partition. Location for the new partition. Beginning of this space. Selected radio button. Use as X4 domain file system combo box. Mount point. Combo box text. Install frame. Table. 50%. 100%.
No, okay, that didn't just do what I wanted it to do.
Scroll pane. Install now push button. Scroll pane. Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA. Table. New partition table not push button. Rebirth push button grade. Slash vent slash SDA combo box. Win. Install frame. Slash vent slash SDA combo box. Window. Slash vent slash SDA. Install frame. Slash vent slash SDA combo box.
Alright.
Window. Slash vent slash SDA 1. Install frame, slash vent, slash SDA 1 combo box. Quit push button. Back push button.
I'm almost there. Now I get
install now push button.
I keep hitting the wrong thing, I think.
Scroll pane. Table. New partition table not push button.
Alright.
Create new empty partition table on this device. You have selected an entire device to partition. Yeah, if you proceed with creating a new partition table on the device, then all current partitions will be removed. Note that you will be able to undo this operation later if you wish. Go back push button. Continue push button. Install frame. New partition table not push button. 0%. Scroll pane. Page tab. Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA. Table. Device column header free space. Install 100%. Device column header slash vent slash SDA.
Damn, man.
Yeah, I can't help you here. I don't bother usually setting up my partition, so.
Oh, no, you just do a whole.
Nah, yeah, I just tell it. Yeah, usually.
Slash vent slash SDA 1.
I don't hop around DistroHop too much, and when I do, I just back up my home partition anyways and,
right.
You know, blow it away and just start over.
Okay, well.
Push button. Rebirth push button.
I mean, if I ever practice doing it, I could probably, I mean, I know it is possible, but I've just never
scroll pain.
Bothered doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Table. 0%.
I'm not sure what the percentage is. I don't ever recall seeing anything about percentage. Maybe that's the percent of the disk that's I've chosen to use.
Yeah, it might be.
All right, because I just chose to revert. All right, I'm going to give this one more try, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to back up and do the whole disk, just to not waste any more time on the podcast.
New partition table not push button. Create new empty partition table on this device. You have selected an entire device to partition. Install frame. New partition table not push button.
I know what I'm doing.
Install a no root file system.
Okay, shit.
Install frame. Scroll pane. Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA. Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA 1. Size 241,247. Selected spin button.
Alright. How do I enter text here, do you know?
Well, I think from here. Did you tab to get there or did you arrow to get there?
I tab.
I believe here in this box, this like, you know, dialogue box, whatever.
Yep.
I believe you can either arrow. I don't know if it would be either left, right, or up or down, because you could just change the numbers, because it's already set at, like, whatever it said, 240,000.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. That's 250 gig.
Right, yeah. So you could probably just, like I said, it's either left or right to decrease it, or up and down.
Yeah,
it's,
you know, well, I remember it's up and down from the installer.
So I would guess I would just press down here, and you should...
But this is where I usually, if I'm doing this with a mouse and my eyes... This
you
is,
would scroll.
No, I wouldn't even. I just type a new number.
You could probably just try type one here and see if it does it.
Num lock on. 229,000.
All right, that's what I'm looking for.
There you go.
User, do not use the partition combo mods.
I didn't hear what that said.
Cancel. User, do not use the partition combo mods.
Right now, you're in a combo box, and it said, use the partition as, and the selection you're on right now is, don't use this partition.
Okay, so let me try so I can try typing here? It sounds like where I should be able to type.
What would you normally type here?
Slash.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so it gives me no confirmation that I've typed.
I would try the arrow key down and see if it gives you an option. Okay, how about the arrow key up?
Physical volume for encryption.
Try up again.
Swap area. MTFS.
Yeah,
FAT32 file system.
Oh, this is just the partition type. Okay, I was thinking it was where the mount point. All right, that's later
FAT16
on.
FAT16 file system. XFS donate. JFS donate in file system. BTRFS donate. ReIZOFS donate. X2 file system. X3 donate. X4 donate in file system.
Okay.
Format the partition. Checkbox not checked. Checked. Mount point. Combo box text.
Okay, and where
there you go. Now you would type it in because it said combo box text.
Okay, and where
so that means you can type something there.
Yeah, I was starting to actually move on this, believe it or not, because where it just said that the box is not checked, that was just a space bar to check the box.
Yeah, I saw you. I noticed you did that pretty quick. I was like, hey, he's getting the hang of it already.
This is funny that you can see what I'm doing and I can't.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right.
Yeah, now here is where you could just type in the slash, I believe. You're already in the box right now.
All right, so I just hit slash.
Mount point, slash combo box.
There you go.
Okay, so it said slash combo box. Does that mean that slash is what's in the combo box?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Text, slash selected.
So you're still kind of in that, like, you're not in the combo box, but it's telling you slash has been selected
okay.
for the mount point.
All right, yeah, I did a shift tab to go back to see what it would say if I went forward again. I'm going to go back one more and then go forward again.
Format the partition. Checkbox checked. Mount okay. point. Combo box text. Slash selected. Mount point. Slash combo box.
Yeah, it's repeating the same thing. I'm not sure if it shows that twice or not on the screen, but
maybe.
It's basically telling you the same thing twice.
Okay.
Cancel push button. Okay, push button.
All right, there's only one thing that I remember from this box that I'm not hearing it say right. I guess I'm not seeing it is what I should say. The one thing I'm not hearing is it usually asks if I want SDA 1 to be at the beginning of the drive or the end of the drive. So I'm going to assume.
I think that was that you did go by that, but I don't think it was audibly asking you that. I don't think it might not have even been reading a part of the screen maybe because there was that section where you went from SDA to SDA 1, and maybe in that area you might be able to position where it is, but again, I have
no, that was, that was the where I tabbed past SDA to SDA 1. I remember from the installer, that's a different window.
Okay.
And this is, this is like a context window.
Okay.
That comes up within that. So let me scroll through this one more time. Sorry, it's taken me so long.
Oh, no problem.
Size, 25,000 users, X4 to format the partition, checkbox, mount point, slash combo cancel push button, okay push button, size, 25,000 users, X4 format the partition, mount point, cancel push button, okay push button, install frame, table.
Okay.
Device column header slash vent slash SDA2. Right click install frame, table. Slash vent slash SDA1. Slash vent slash SDA. Slash vent slash SDA1. Slash vent slash SDA2.
Alright.
User, do not use the partition combo box. Physical volume for encryption. Swap area. FAT32 file system. FAT16 file system. XFS donate in file system. JFS donate in file system. BTRFS ReIZOFS X2 file X3 X4 donate in files. Format the partition. Checkbox not checked. Checked. Mount point. Combo box text.
Here's where you typed in the slash.
Mount point. Slash home combo box.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Cancel push button. Okay, push button. User, X4 donate in file system combo box. Format the partition. Checkbox checked. Mount point. Combo box text. Mount point. Slash home combo box. Cancel push button.
It's not asking me how much size it should be, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, push button.
Because if I just hit okay now, I'm going to have a root and a home partition and no swap space.
Yeah, you didn't, on the SDA2, I didn't see that same section where, when you, with SDA1, where you chose the size.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go back and try that. I'm not sure why that didn't offer, or maybe I arrowed through it.
User, X4 donating pipe format the partition, mount point, combo box text, slash home selected.
I think that's what I think I have to arrow.
Mount point. Slack cancel push button. Okay, push button. Use as text. Format the partition. Checkbox checked. Mount point. Combo box text. Slash home select slash. Mount point. Slash home combo box text. Slash home selected. Blank.
No.
Yeah, I think it was before you did this is when you chose the size and then you went to this, you know, portion of
mount point. Slash home combo box. Cancel push button.
You might have to go back.
Install frame. Table. Device column header slash vent slash SDA 1.
Yeah,
slash
from
vent
here.
Slash SDA. Slash vent slash SDA 1. Slash vent slash SDA 2. Slash vent slash SDA 1.
That's weird that it's offering me SDA 2 at this point, because usually you have to go to new to create SDA 2.
Yeah, it's true. It just kind of automatically did it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I guess once we change their installer for 1210.
Slash vent slash SDA 2.
It's possible.
Oh, man, I wonder if it's going to automatically create swap space in there somewhere.
Type column header path 32. Mount point column header blank. Format, column header checkbox not checked. Size column header 8,801 MB.
Oh, there you go.
Format,
no,
column
that's...
header checkbox not checked. Size column header 8,801 MB.
So that's 8 gigs right there.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, push button. Use as. Do not use the partition combo box. Cancel push button. Okay, push button. Use as. Do not use the partition combo box. Physical volume for encryption. Swap area. FAT32/FAXJFPTRX-REIZE-X3-DONALING5-X4-DONALING-FILE-SYSTEM.
You could make that 8 gigs the swap.
Yeah, that's true.
X3-DONALING5-X2-FILE-SYSTEM.
You're right.
REIZE-RFS-DONALING-FILE-SYSTEM. BTRFS-DONALING-JFS-DONALING-XFS-DONALING-FAT6-FAT4-SWAP-AREA.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's what to do with it. I normally wouldn't give it 8 gigs to swap.
Yeah.
But okay. All right.
Okay, push button. Use as swap area combo box.
All right. So swap area dot.
Cancel push button. Okay, push button. Cancel push button. Okay, push button. Install frame table. Size column header 241,000.
Yeah, there's the remainder of your...
Format, column header checkbox not checked. Mount point column header blank. Format, column header checkbox not checked.
Now if you'll forgive me, I'm just arrowing around blindly here. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to, if I hit tab, I seem to be getting a different set of options every time, depending on where I've arrowed to.
That's kind of the trick. Once you get used to the way certain things work, because tabbing and arrow are kind of like, they can do...
Similar tasks, but sometimes those tasks are reversed based on the program in the window.
Right, yeah. Or like sometimes, like say if you're like, the best way I could describe it is like, say if you're on a web page and you're in a particular box in the web page, you would arrow through the box, but if you tabbed, you'd be tabbing through other boxes on the web page.
Right.
So that's kind of like, that might be sort of what's happening here is, you know, you might hit tab and it'll bring you somewhere you didn't see before, but if you press arrow in another spot, you might see something you wouldn't see because you tab over it.
All right, so the lesson here for everybody is if you're going to be blind, learn to use your keyboard without the mouse first.
Yes, exactly.
New partition table, not push button, slash vent, slash SDA combo box.
Okay, so I hit tab and I got to the new partition table, and I know from going through this 18 times now that I can arrow down to...
like the SDA 3 or whatever.
Yeah, the particular
right.
Position.
Yeah.
Slash
vent
slash SDA 1. Slash vent slash SDA. Slash vent slash SDA 1.
I think I might have just deleted SDA 2.
Slash vent slash SDA. Slash vent slash SDA 1.
It doesn't
button.
Seem to be there.
Back push button. Install now push button. Scroll pane. Table. Format, column header checkbox checked. Checkbox not checked. Checkbox checked. Checkbox not checked. Checkbox checked.
It just toggles the checkbox.
Size column header 241,247 MB. Used column header 59,580 MB.
This is back to the whole partition. This is not...
Size column header 241,247
MB. Yeah, somehow you just lost some of what you just did.
8,801 MB. Push button. Rebirth push button. Slash vent slash SDA 1 combo box.
This is riveting radio, folks.
I know, right?
Quit push button. Install. Back. Orca screen reader frame 1 unfocused dialog. About push button.
No, you're back at the desktop now.
Help push button. Preferences push button.
Yeah, because I quit out the installer. I'm going to start that over and just do the whole disk like you said.
Quit push button. About push button.
You need to left arrow to get to the desktop. Or you can press, I think, Windows key and the letter D will bring you to the desktop also.
Preferences push button.
That's the Orca window, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Orca preferences. Orca preferences. Apply push button.
Yeah, you're still in the Orca preferences.
Okay, so thing. That's the only open window. All right.
Cancel push button. Orca's quit push button. Question quit Orca. This will stop all speech and
no, you don't want to do
cancel
that.
Push button.
Oh, so I cancel this?
Yeah.
Orca screen reader frame. Quit push button. About push button. Help push button. Preferences push button.
All right, so I just gotta.
Quit push button.
No, window D is.
Preferences get... push button.
Not getting.
Okay, or. Or you can press Alt F1.
Okay.
Focus. Top expanded edge panel.
Okay, now press the arrow up.
Applications menu, Sonar Software Center.
Up again.
Universal Access menu.
One more time.
System Tools menu.
Right.
Okay.
Administration menu.
Okay, yep, I understand where I am now.
Upstream. Upstream. System Settings. System Monitor. System Log. Power Statistics. IBUS. Disk Usage Analyzer. Deconfeditor. Preferences menu. Change onboard settings.
You put the disk usage analyzer in here?
Yes, it's accessible.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's one of the most handy graphical tools that I know of, that Baobab analyzer.
Yeah, it's totally accessible.
Really? Okay.
Administration menu. Upstream. Upstream. System settings. System monitor. System log. Power statistics. IBUS. Disk usage analyzer.
No, it ain't in this one.
Yeah, you might. Once you get to administrator, you have to right arrow over again.
Oh. Okay, alright, multiple windows.
Yeah,
multiple
there's two,
menus.
You can right arrow over twice.
Okay, I didn't know it was a nested menu, sorry, my bad.
IBUS, power statistics, system log, system monitor, system settings, upstream, upstream, administration menu.
It's now right arrow 1.10. There you go.
Got it.
Administration menu, system tools menu, applications menu, Orca screen reader frame, preferences push button, applications menu.
The install didn't start yet, so.
Oh, okay, right.
It should come up in like another 20 seconds or so.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
It's all plain English.
There you go. Now it's up.
Okay. This is, I don't know if I said, it's a fairly slow computer. It's like a early AMD 64.
Yeah, I mean, live disk, it's just slow anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
You know.
Yeah, but this is going to be a slow processor anyway. I packed it with RAM, but we're not using anything that's memory intensive, so it was useless, but.
Quit push button. Continue push button. Continue. Push button. 0%.
I keep thinking that I'm hitting continue, and then it tells me to hit continue again.
I'm not sure if you pressed it or not. You might want to press tab and see.
Quit push button. So I use third-party software to play Flash.
Okay, you have the push next. Button.
So I use third-party software to play Flash, MP3, and other media, and to work with some graphics and Wi-Fi hardware. Some of this software is proprietary. The software is some. Continue push button.
Okay, so what just happened there, and I can tell you from memory, was that the window, there was probably a progress bar loading up there, and continue gets grayed out for a while.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I could tell you that's, I know that's what just happened, even without looking.
This compute quit push button, app push button grayed, continue push button, install now, push button, page tab, SCSI2000SDA, quit push button, app push button, install now push button.
I would go back, you seem to skip something.
Oh.
SCSI2000SDA write previous changes to disk continue push button, go back push button, install frame, SCSI2000SDA to the toggle button collapse, SCSI2000 toggle button collapse.
What does that say? What buttons collapse?
It's talking about the hard drive. I think it's showing you the hard drive right now.
SCSI2000SDA 250.1 GB Artisan 3,250,824 RAS combo box. This computer currently has multiple operating systems on it. What would you like to do? Panel install Sonar alongside them. Selected radio button. Erase this
you'll
and install Sonar.
Selected go.
Radio button.
Mail tab.
Page tab. 4%. Panel. 100%.
Okay, that's a progress bar.
Yep. Then you can tab to the next part, I think, now.
Okay.
Type here to change text. New York selected.
Yeah, it's having you select, like, the keyboard
the
and
time zone
and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
New York is the time zone.
Continue, push button. Continue, push button. Table. Variant column header English US. Table.
Here's the keyboard layout.
Type data test your keyboard text.
You can just leave it blank and tap through it.
Detect keyboard layout push button. Back push button. 19%. Continue push button. Continue. Push button. Your name. Your name text.
And then here's your username.
23%. TAP. The name it uses when it talks to other computers. The name it uses when it talks to other computers. Your computer's name. Text. Patrick EX325 AABASR 1950. Pick a username. Username text. Patrick. The name it uses when it talks to. Pick a username. Username text. Be selected. Choose a password. Password text. 40%. Confirm your password. Port. Require my password to log in. Selected radio button. Encrypt my phone folder checkbox not checked. Back push button. 51%. Continue push button.
And now you just wait for it to install.
Right.
It's already at 50%.
Yep.
So.
Yep. It was kind of.
57%.
Yep. It was kind of interrupting while I was doing that.
And for some people that might not know or whatever, this being for a blind person to do this is really, I mean, a game changer. I mean,
61%.
People that can see take it for granted, but I mean, before, you know, sonar and maybe one or two other distributions, a blind person would have to, get a friend, family member, pay someone, like a computer tech or something, to reinstall his or her operating system because they can't do it on their own.
Right.
By using sonar, this gives them, complete freedom to download sonar, install it however many times they want, however often they want. They can, mess up the computer, reinstall the operating system if they want.
Yep.
So this is really a game changer for, a lot of blind people.
Yeah.
74%.
I mean, it's as much of a game changer as when I found a Linux Live CD and could, install Linux on a computer and get rid of Windows.
Well, that too.
Well, except that to some degree I could at least use Windows.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, if there's a blind person using Windows and they get a virus or it gets messed up, they have no way of like troubleshooting it. They have no way of reinstalling.
Right.
They're dead in the water.
Just hosed. Yep.
86%.
And I guess I'll get in my free software box for a second too while I'm waiting for this to install.
89%.
Obviously, us in the free software world know that, proprietary software is not good. And, even more so, I think, for people 93%. That depend on assistive technology or accessible software, because I think it affects us even more, because if it weren't for this software, we wouldn't be able to access the technology. We wouldn't be able to use a computer if it weren't for this accessible software. And 100%. By using proprietary accessible software, we're that much more restricted by the developers of the software, this proprietary software. By using free software that's accessible, now
0%.
Our destiny is in our own hands. We can control the software that we depend on, and we're in control of our own computing, so we can help fix bugs, we can create bug reports, we can put in feature requests, we can give people real feedback on like what's working, what's not working.
Yeah.
And we ourselves as the community that depends on the software can make the difference, instead of getting a hold of XYZ company saying, oh, it'd be nice if this program could do this. And then they'll tell
1%.
You, yeah, we're not going to do that because we wouldn't benefit monetarily from it.
Right.
Or we'll see you when the upgrade comes and get you to buy the next upgrade with this fix in it.
Right,
you
know? Right. Now, and right now, I just want to interrupt because you're speaking 24%. To people. You're speaking to people who know free software and who are familiar with it and who have participated in it. But I would just like to say here, if anyone's using free software or you're using what you call open source software and don't fully understand the difference between the terms free software and open source software, and you've never participated, you got to try it. I mean, it will give you that lump in your chest of pride that, very few things give you. You know what I mean? It's when you don't know what that feeling's like and you haven't done anything like that, it's hard to describe it. But when you participate in free software, when you take part in it and give something back to the community, you're recording a show for Hacker Public Radio does it for me. Lets me give back to the HPR community and to the podcast community. But also filing bug reports.
66%.
speaking with developers and letting them know what I like about their software and making suggestions here and there on their IRC channel or on
73%
or on their developer forums or something like that, or participating, contributing. I've been contributing a little bit of
73%.
Just a little bit of storyline to a game. I can't code, but I can do a little bit of that, you know, and just when that stuff gets accepted. Another time I wanted a game ported over for any, I've told this story before 100 times and probably on HBR, but I paid a developer $20 to port,
93%, 100%.
To port a little video game over to my N810
for the screen reader frame. Preferences push button. Installation complete. Installation has finished. You can continue testing so on now, but until you restart the computer, any changes you make or documents you save will not be preserved. Restart now push button.
You just press enter here, and then the CD should eject or DVD should eject, and it should reboot, and then you'll come to the login screen.
Yep. Yeah, so as I was saying, back when I had the N810, it cost me $20 to get a game ported. The developer who did that for me put the game in the repo where everybody could use it. You know,
That's awesome.
He didn't just do it for me. You know what I mean?
And yeah, exactly.
For him, he was a student. $20 was like, woohoo. And for me, it was like, wow, everybody with an N810 can check this game out now.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so you're absolutely right about free software. And that's all I was saying was that if you were talking to anybody who wasn't relating, people, you got to relate. You got to do something because it'll make you feel good, and it's worth doing for sure. All right, now I think I have to switch my monitor back on just to get this thing to boot up properly.
Yeah, that might be true.
Which I feel like I'm cheating, but...
Cheater.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, let's try to get turned on. Okay, I'm a bad person, but here it goes.
You'll get to hear the login sound that I put in Sonar.
Right. You know what I did? I forgot. I took the CD out, but I didn't enter again, so now it's booting up again. And the screen's purple, so I'm switching it back off. All right, now we get to see how quick this machine really is running off of bare metal.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I'm really, I gotta say, my feelings are hurt that I couldn't partition the way I wanted to.
You're almost there. I don't know what happened, how part of it got messed up.
Maybe if I were more used to the partition editor, that's the one that's built into the installer.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I could have made that work. And I'm a little bit familiar with it, and I was trying to picture how it works in my head, but I think that's kind of the flaw here, is that I'm trying to work with what I remember things looking like.
Right.
When really, I got to get off of that and just try to remember what the proper sequence of key presses is.
You were deceived by your eyes.
Yeah, I really was. I really was. Looking at this black screen in front of me.
And also, while you're doing this too, some of the money that that I raised through the Indiegogo campaign will go to the polish that it needs with like either theming and things like that. Because I mean, literally, if Pokey was looking at it, if the normal person looks at it, it's probably gonna look a lot like Ubuntu. Because I didn't bother really messing with the themes or icons or like the login screen too much, because I was like, really, the majority of the people using it aren't going to see it anyways.
Right.
But the people that do see it, like if they have a relative or whatever, like, hey, I heard of this distro called Sonar, and then their relative might see it, like, looks like Ubuntu. I don't see what the big deal is. I really want to give it its own look and theming and icons and stuff like that, so that way it does stand out from the crowd. And because really the end goal is I'd love to use Sonar as a platform, not only to show people that free software and assistive technology can be done and it currently works and it is a viable solution, but for it to also be a platform for other developers to say, you know what, I want to build on top of Sonar. I want, more accessible software on top of Sonar, which, again, I wouldn't keep it only on Sonar, but I just want to have that platform to where accessibility is the first and foremost focus on the distribution.
Right. Well, I'm getting an error here, but I'm pretty sure it's a hardware error, so I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to blame Sonar here.
Yeah, I'm pretty I do test every disc and burn it, or image and burn it and boot off of it and stuff before I upload it. So And we did go through the installation process, so
yeah.
It could just be something funny.
Yeah, no, this is a fairly untested computer, and I'm sure somebody wouldn't have thrown it away if it worked perfectly, but 9 out of 10 times, the only thing that doesn't work is Windows, and the machine is fine.
Yeah, that's usually how it works, right?
So I 9 out of 10 times, that's how it works, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
Well, at least you got to go through the install and see what it was all about.
Yeah, so okay, so for people with vision, with sight, who are used to using their computer, maybe another way to do this, to step in slowly, is just to try Sonar, try something that's got Orca running by default, and unplug your mouse for a day or two and see what you can get done, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you could even, realistically, even run it off just the live disk if you really wanted to. I mean,
it's
obviously,
true.
You know, obviously the performance isn't quite there, but you would definitely get the idea of, you know, how things ran, so.
Guy at work, his machine broke recently, Windows broke, and we booted it off of Nopix, and Nopix had the screen reader running out of the box. If you didn't interact with it, it turned Orca on, and it also, I think, by default booted to RAM, and he was blown out of his chair.
Yeah.
But it was funny because it seemed like every other time we booted it up, the screen wouldn't even turn on, and Orca would just start going, and if I rebooted it, the screen would come on, and he'd, you know, get to it before Orca started talking.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird, but I didn't even know it had Orca built into it, but apparently, you know, Nopix does as well.
Yeah, it's a version of Nopix called Adrian, which is like a, stands for something. It's an acronym that stands for something. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but Klaus Knopper, his wife, is actually blind.
Oh.
So, yeah, so he sort of like built it for her.
Oh, right on, okay. And she's, I'm assuming, probably just a standard user, not like a admin type person.
Yeah, no, he uses the LXE desktop,
yeah.
And he was the first person to make it like accessible. But the way he does it, you don't have it's not like a full desktop experience. He uses the LXE desktop in this like Firefox and Thunderbird or whatever. But they're like, I don't know exactly how he did it, but they're almost like sandboxed. So you'd get this menu. Orca reads the menu, arrow up and down through the menu, and you click either Firefox or Thunderbird. Or, you know, LibreOffice Writer or whatever, you click on that, but you can only choose from the list of, like, 10 programs. And so it's not like you're running, like, a real, you're not actually in the LXD environment. It's just using it in the background type of thing. And there's, like, this menu that he custom built or whatever that gives you these choices of, like, 10 programs to use.
Well, that's not a bad way to do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're just, you know, going to check your email and surf the web, I mean, I guess you really don't need anything else outside of that, really.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's cool that he would do that for her and that she's able to use it now. And I've been trying to catch up on the Sonar podcast. I've listened to 3 out of 4, I think. Is there 4? Is that total? I've listened to 3 of them.
Yeah, I have a 5th one. I haven't even uploaded yet. I recently, not recently, but within the last month and a half or so, switched over to VPS. So I moved over all my sites to the VPS.
Yeah.
And a couple of things got a little messed up with the move, so I need to fix the Frostbite Media site to, right now it'll only let me upload, the largest file is like 5 megs, so I need to edit something somewhere. I don't remember exactly what I did the last time to do it, but, so I need to do that in order so I can upload episode number 5.
Yeah.
And then we haven't recorded anything in a long time, in a while, because school started, I started the Indiegogo campaign, we're still, you know, doing Northeast GNU Linux Fest stuff, so the podcast just kind of took a seat, you know,
yep.
went to the back burner, so.
Now, it was good. The last one I heard, you guys were wishing each other a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 3 it was. Okay, so what are you using to build your websites?
I use Drupal, WordPress, mostly Drupal, though. I'm a huge fan of Drupal.
And you can just tab around that and input stuff into text boxes and it works?
Oh, yeah.
So do you pick a, is there like a theme that you're using that people have told you is
easy? Yeah, there's a handful that I'll kind of circle through, you know,
yep.
There's a handful that I pick.
Okay.
So.
All right, so mostly it's just then it's the WordPress theming that makes your sites look the way they do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely no design. All my sites are like very basically, you know, very basic like layout and stuff.
Yeah, they are. Very basic, but in an elegant way. They're not lacking anything.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I try to keep the whole less is more kind of thing, and you know, try not to overdo it or whatever. And just, you know, build the site in a way that makes sense to me, the way that I would like to see a website, you know? So that's kind of how I approach it.
Yeah, well, and that makes perfect sense. If you knew you put something there, but then you can't get to it when you're trying to read it with your screen reader, then you got to redo something.
Exactly.
That makes really good sense, too. Yeah, because I've noticed that a couple of the sites that you build are just, like, you're just in black and white with, like, a sans serif font that's, you know, big where it needs to be and small where it doesn't need to be big. And they make perfect sense, and you whip through them in no time, you know, extract the information you need out of them, and you're done.
Yep, exactly.
It'd be nice if more websites were like that. But during that partitioning, that really, like I said, it literally hurt my feelings that I couldn't, you know, set my partition up the way that I want to. And I can only imagine you must run into that all the time.
Dude, when I first lost my site, I was my own worst enemy.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because I'd be like, you know, I could do this a year ago because I could see. No, I can't. Or, you know, I struggle with all kinds of things like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you get used to stuff and... I mean, you don't think of it as taking it for granted, but I mean, I couldn't get to that partitioner, and that's something I really like doing.
Yeah.
I mean, like partitioning was the first thing I learned to do with computers other than be a dumb user. You know, that was the first piece of sysadmin that I ever did, was learning to repartition and learning, you know, like teaching myself why repartitioning was, you know, why it was useful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've been repartitioning for a long time, and I don't think I've ever used a default partition, you know, partition scheme on any computer ever. You know, even ones that didn't matter to me and weren't going to matter. I don't think I've ever used a default partition scheme. So having my hands tied like that, I think if I had to experience that 10 or 15 times a day, I'd be crying, man. I'd be in tears.
Well, like you said, you get used to it.
I'm so frustrated. Well, I just mean, you said when you first lost your site,
how
it made you feel. I would be in tears over a thing like that in pretty short order. I you know, maybe that makes me less of a man, but I'm trying to be honest about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely had my days, too. I mean, thankfully it's in the past, but...
Yeah. All right, let me ask you another question. This is something that I didn't understand, and then I thought I did, and now I don't again. So why, if I'm a blind user, even just for one day, why am I installing a graphical environment at all? Why not just run headless and run on the command line all the time?
Because unfortunately... the world we live in is very visual now, or it probably always has been, but the world we live in, especially with the digital age technology, is very visual. So, like, even if you try to do, like, a straight-up text-based console, you're going to be limited to certain things because, like let's say, like, with the Lynx browser or Elynx or, you know, name any, you know, terminal-based kind of web browsing, you know, text-based web browser.
Yeah.
All of those... You can't log into pretty much any like normal website or like social networking website or lots of other websites because they all use JavaScript and none of those text-based browsers support JavaScript.
Right.
So there's that process. So now you need, you know, Firefox, and in order to run Firefox, you need XORG. You know, you need a graphical desktop. So it's like it's whole catch-22 thing. You know.
So Firefox can translate the output of whatever JavaScript is running into something that Orca can handle.
Right. Well, it's not that Orca can't handle the output in the, like, Lynx or Elynx or whatever. Uh-huh. It's that Lynx and Elynx don't support JavaScript.
Don't support it at all.
Right. So Oracle works great with Firefox. So pretty much anything Firefox, you know, can see Oracle read.
Okay.
Because it, you know, it supports everything. The shortcoming with the text-based browsers are the browsers themselves. It's not anything to do with Orca. It's just the browser themselves don't support like JavaScript and stuff.
So the reason you're not using just an X and a command line environment with no graphics, just because not all the functionality. The functionality isn't all there.
Right, but if it were, then I would be fine with it myself.
That'd be the
totally.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just the functionality is not there from a desktop standpoint.
Right, and I guess I should look into it because I guess maybe something could be done about it. I'm not sure. I don't know if they don't support that just because the developers are like, why bother? Or if there's actually a technical reason why they... Because all of them don't support, like, JavaScript. It's not just, like, one does and one doesn't.
Yeah.
They all don't. So I don't know if it's something to do with... I mean, even with Firefox, it's hit and miss with, like, JavaScript. Because, like, Google Plus and, like, Google Docs and all that, that's all JavaScript. And it's completely inaccessible.
Right.
With Firefox, you know?
Yeah.
So...
So is Firefox, is that the only thing that you need your, that can't be the only thing you need your graphical environment for?
No, I guess, well, I mean, I like Thunderbird. I mean, there is Mutt and a few other things. I've never really used them, but I am a fan of Thunderbird.
Okay.
You know, I guess if you want, I mean, really, if you wanted to learn how to do it, you could probably do everything from the command line. Like, I mean, you could even do audio editing. You could use Sox to, like, edit audio. You could use Mutt for your email and links for your web browsing. And, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of command line alternatives to everything that I do. I mean, I could use Finch instead of Pigeon for instant messaging.
Right.
So, I mean, everything probably could be done. But,
right. But it seems like the holdup, if you use those kinds of things, would be that you have to know all the key combinations that
right.
those programs are expecting before you start.
Exactly.
Whereas
so it's like this
something like Firefox or just your GNOME desktop can be pretty menu driven.
Correct. And like especially, you know, any other either blind user or any other user coming over from proprietary operating system, really when you get down to it, the kind of like the functionality and keystrokes and everything, they'll pretty much carry across the board.
Yeah.
So it's really not too much of a learning curve. It's just figuring out where stuff is and maybe figuring out the names of the programs.
Well,
you know?
It may translate for someone who's used to using key combinations and shortcuts and then loses their sight. But it's not going to translate well for someone who's a point-and-click type of person or for someone who was born blind and now has to learn to use a computer.
Yeah, see, that, I'm not going to say unfortunately, but that fortunately is an experience that I, you know, because I could see for 14 years, so I have that either, if you'd call it an advantage or disadvantage on my side, so I can't understand what it's like to be born blind, so I do have that hurdle to try and understand how, at that point, you know, almost maybe a completely terminal-based operating system would be better.
Maybe.
Because then you don't have to explain to a blind user what's a window, what's a drop down, what's a dialog box, what's a radio dial.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to explain any of that to them. You just have to tell them, oh, just do, command space dash X, you know, space XYZ, and then they'll do this. And then that's all they need to remember.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to explain them, okay, a drop down box is like, well, picture a window, what's a window? Okay, a window is something square that, you know, you can see through and see outside, and, you know, so it's just all this stuff you have to explain to a blind person that's never seen.
Right.
So, I guess it would be better to go completely terminal if you've never seen.
How, you know, maybe, except that, like you said, it's missing half the functionality.
Well, I mean, if there was a fully functional...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess really the web browser is kind of the only shortcoming, because like I said, you can use Finch to do instant messaging. You can do, Mutt or Alpine or whatever. I mean, there's a myriad of other, you know, terminal-based mail clients. You know, you could use the text editor to do your, you know, writing. I guess you'd have a problem if you needed to open up maybe like a spreadsheet or something, but...
I can tell you, having seen Ubuntu before and knowing what this screen ought to look like as I'm moving around, I can tell you that the menus are the helpful thing here. The menus is what Orca is actually reading.
Right.
And so with with a lot of these new desktops that don't have menus and are trying to work without menus.
Yeah.
That's got to be a freaking nightmare.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, I don't mind GNOME 3. I mean, I don't use it either, but if you're new to, you know, GNU Linux and you give a blind guy GNOME 3, he's going to be like, all right, how do I get to the menu? And you'd be like, yeah, there's no menu.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to push the Windows key and search. Well, I don't know what I'm searching for. Yeah, well, figure it out. Like, you know, like that's why I use the fallback mode of GNOME and Sonar, because that still has, you know, the menu where you can get to the menu and arrow through it like you were, you know, because that way you can discover what's on your system.
Yeah, sort of. I can tell you one thing that was probably making it a little harder. If it's, you know, it would have been the way to do this would be to have recorded the screen and just posted the video of me fumbling through and not being able to do stuff later, so to look at a comparison. But I'll bet you having the two different docks, the one at the top and the one at the bottom of the screen, probably didn't help, because now you got menus in both places.
Yeah, I see. Well, the bottom dock, there's really nothing. I mean, there's a couple things there. I keep meaning to remove that and put up a new image of Sonar, because it really doesn't need to be there. There's nothing there. So
yeah,
I need to just get rid of it.
Yeah, except for just cycling through Windows.
Right.
Now, what about the other things that are parked in that dock? Do you ever, like...
I never use them myself.
You can't get to the clock and see what time it is. You can't...
Oh, yeah, you can.
Oh, really? There's a way to get over to the clock that's running in the dock, or is...
Yep, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you would press Control-Alt-Tab, and that cycles you through the desktop and the two panels.
Okay.
So you can get to the top panel, and then you can arrow and tab through the top panel.
Okay. All right. Oh, that makes sense.
So you can see your network connection, you can adjust your sound from there, your volume, I mean... you know, you can see all the shutdown and all that stuff. You can get to all that stuff in the top panel.
Yeah. No, I should have just left it booted into the CD and tried it that way, because I'm curious about some of the things that I have to, you know, play with all the time, like, you know, the ALSA mixer and adjusting volumes and stuff.
Yeah, with Sonar, I set it's just the master volume, but I set a bunch of hotkeys in Sonar, so if you do control up or down arrow, that'll up higher and lower the volume.
Okay.
What else did I do? Control-Alt-M will mute and unmute it. Control-Shift-T will open up the terminal. You know, things like that.
I'm sure the answer is probably no, but I'll ask anyway, because I'll kick myself if I don't. Is Conky accessible at all?
You know what? I've had a lot of people ask me. I've never tried it. I would almost say, though, probably not. Just from the way people explain what it looks like, I would almost say it's not accessible.
Yeah, it's because it runs without a window. It's almost like...
It's like part of the desktop, right? Kind of like...
It's more like part of the
wallpaper. Or like a background. Yeah, that's why I would say I would be shocked if it was accessible, but, you know, put it that way.
Yeah.
I really don't think it is.
And you really don't interact with it. It's just an output.
Yeah.
You know, you go into the config file and you tell it what things you want it to monitor, and you tell it how often you want it to update, and you can just, you know, you can glance at it and get whatever information is important to you at that moment. But if it were accessible, you know, so that you could scroll through it, and because it's utterly configurable, you can put anything that you can put in Conky, you can put anywhere you want in Conky.
Yeah.
You know, it's like laying out words in a book or something. It's you know, very configurable. But if there were a way to get to it and read, you know, have the screen read to what was in there, you can put static text in there, like your shortcut keys and stuff.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason I even bring it up, where it might be useful to have a list of your shortcut keys for volume up and volume down and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know Vinix, I thought it was kind of cool. I need to figure out exactly how they did it. They kind of made, like, a little text file within Vinix, and inside that, they wrote, like, all the, you know, keyboard shortcuts.
Oh.
So if you press, like, Control-Alt and some letter, it would automatically bring up a text file in gedit, and you could read through it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a cool little hotkey, like, you know, one of the quick, you know, hotkeys or whatever that I can use. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of trying to add something like that into Sonar.
Huh. I wonder if, like, I'm sure I've heard of Vinix, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I'm on their mailing list, and someone in PC World actually wrote an article about the Indiegogo campaign.
Nice.
And someone on Vinix saw it, and they posted it in the mailing list, and, like, you know, all the hate mail, they're all flaming me. I don't think they realize I'm still on the mailing list or whatever. But they're just like, oh, I can't believe he's charging $20,000. He wants to raise $20,000. What's he going to do? And why does he even bother doing Sonar? Vinix already exists. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. You know?
Right.
But, you know, like, Vinix is pushing, like, their latest release is based off of Ubuntu 10.04.
Yeah.
Which is going to be up in April.
Yeah, yeah, the support and, for it.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, this is, you know, I won't get into it, but there's, like, a myriad of other reasons why I don't really, I didn't want to work with them, and they're like, why did he reach out and contact us and work with us, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why did Ubuntu start? How come Debian wasn't good enough?
Well,
you know, no, why is there Fedora? You know, it's like,
well, I mean, it's actually kind of an easy question to answer, and it's because Sonar needs a whole bunch of things that aren't in Vinix, and that Vinix isn't going to put in there just because one guy said that accessibility needs it. I mean, I could tell that just burning the ISO. The ISO was almost 900 megabytes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all accessibility stuff. You didn't have a whole bunch of, you know, the GIMP wasn't in there taking up that
nope.
space.
No.
You know? But you need certain things in there. You were talking about the bottom heavy fonts, how the bottom heavy fonts help dyslexic people
right.
to read a little bit easier. A font doesn't take up any space, you know, but still this thing is bigger than what fits on the CD. So obviously these
yeah.
things add up. And, you know, do the Vinix guys really want you in their IRC 12 times a day saying, look, we need this font that you guys are going to think is silly, but a dyslexic guy is going to find a lot of use out of it. Or we need this screen magnifier that I know it has to come. I know it comes with a lot of baggage because you need CompViz to run it, but, you know, this woman over here needs her screen magnified. I mean, that's
exactly,
you know, or we need this set of icons for my friend who's colorblind and can't tell the difference between a couple of the icons.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that thankfully someone pointed out somewhere, because I didn't email them at all on the mailing list. Like,
yeah,
there was tons of people.
Time.
Yeah, so I didn't bother. But, you know, I was like, look, you know, I'm concentrating on more than just blind people. Like, Vinix is strictly for blind and low vision people or whatever. I'm focusing on much more than that. There's more than just blind people out there, you know?
Yeah. So Vinix is specifically for blind users?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Anyway, but yeah, so, I mean, and I'm glad you brought up the fundraiser, because that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this podcast today, is to draw some awareness to the fundraiser. You know, and anyone who's listening, if you just think I had a hard time just because I'm an idiot, give it a try and see what you think of it. You know, try installing that with your monitor turned off. Try using it with your monitor turned off. Try getting through, a day or even an hour as a blind user, you know, or someone who can't type. Go ahead and wrap some medical tape around both your hands and see how easily you can, you know, use your keyboard or your mouse that way, and see if some of the stuff built in there is helpful. And if not, you know, see what things could be added to help you get through that, you know. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who don't have as easy of a time using a computer as I do, or as you do, you the listener. But we can help them, and here's a chance, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, before I got in the car accident, before I lost my sight, I mean, I never broke a bone in my body or anything up until that point, and I never considered, like, accessibility. I mean, not even with just technology, but just accessibility or, you know, how people with disabilities, like, handle, you know, life in a different way or whatever. And You know, if you've never thought of this before, it's because you don't depend on accessibility, and that's totally understandable. But just take a minute, like Pokey did, and just dive into it for even a half an hour, just to get a taste of what it might be like, and then you'll understand the importance of this project.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that, I think we can just about wrap it up.
Pokey, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for walking me through. I would have been totally lost. Just setting the speed slow enough to hear, I would have been lost.
But I was going to tell you to crank it up to 100. It was like molasses for me.
I know it was. I know it must have been. Is that everything? Is there anything else we need to cover or mention while we're here?
I guess that's kind of it. I mean, I guess one thing we sort of like touched on the whole Vinix thing and why does Sonar have to exist? And I really want to emphasize, like, for Sonar, I want to, I hate using this word cater. I need to find a better word, but I really want to appeal to people with multiple types of disabilities. And, that's what Sonar's focus is, not just blind people, people that have low motor skills. There's an on-screen keyboard included in Sonar where if you have trouble with your, with your hands and you can't use a regular keyboard and you're better, you can use the mouse easier or a trackball.
Yep.
There's on-screen keyboard. There's another, there's actually two on-screen keyboards. One will help you do like predictive text.
Yep.
You can have it pre-populate things if you type certain paragraphs over and over again. That way you don't have to hunt and peck, 20 minutes just to keep doing the same thing over. There's even eye/head tracking software in Sonar. So you can take a common webcam, a quadriplegic can control the cursor on the screen, and with this software and the on-screen keyboard, they could type out documents. They can surf the web. They, just by the movement of their eyes or their head.
No, that didn't kick off automatically, though.
No, that takes like an initial setup, but it's already on there.
Yeah.
So, you just have to plug in a webcam. As long as GNU Linux has the driver for that webcam, you would just have to, type a couple of things in, get it set up, and it would be ready to go.
Yep, okay, and just put that into the startup session folder. I think it's called sessions in Ubuntu.
Yep, exactly.
Right on. Oh, you know what we do need to mention? The deadline for the fundraiser.
February 20th.
February 20th, 2013, in case you guys are listening to this six months and catching up.
It's my daughter's birthday. She'll be 5 that day. Uh-huh. So.
Happy birthday, tell her right on. Yep, and I know that, and if you are listening to this 6 months later or a year later and you've missed this thing, but you still want to help out financially, I know when I sent my donation in, it went through PayPal and it went to your Northeast Linux Fest address.
Yeah, but I mean, you could even really go to theacf.co and you could just, if you want to donate to Accessible Computing there, you could go there. I'm the executive director of the Accessible Computing Foundation, and this whole project is kind of part of the foundation. So if you ever want to help out with accessible software or develop or program or anything, you can go to theacf.co and it'll bring you right to the Accessible Computing Foundation, where that's where I'm doing a lot of my work these days.
Yep, right on. So, ideally we would be able to hit the goal on the Indiegogo page and get some publicity and get some people brought in who would want to help out. That would be the best thing. But if not, if you're listening to this too late and you've missed the Indiegogo, then head over to
theacf.co.
Theacf.co. Head over to there and drop a donation in there, please. It takes some time to get these things done, and obviously, you've just heard all this. We need to pay somebody to make Orca a little more understandable, because I got to be honest with you, that was pretty rough.
Yeah, I'm used to it now, and it doesn't matter to me if it sounds better. Like it's like, either I get used to this and use free software, because I could easily use proprietary software anytime. Since I'm a college student, I run my own business, I could get free assistive technology that's proprietary any day of the week. But I choose not to use that stuff because like Pokey said, I'm a free software advocate. I choose, to use free software over proprietary software. And when I chose 5 years ago, it's made leaps and bounds as far as how well it performs now. But I was actually sacrificing performance and accessibility to use free software over proprietary software, but it's gotten so much better in 5 years, and I want to make it that much better than X5.
Yeah, that's totally understandable, and I would do the same thing. I was just saying that, you know, it's you can't stagnate. You can't sit in the same place forever, and it's time to make a little bit of improvement on the voices that we have on our screen readers. And, I mean, even if you don't want to sit down with Orca for an hour, even if you don't want to sit down with Sonar for an hour, if you got Rockbox, just turn the voice on in Rockbox and let it read your menus to you and see if you can live with that for half a day. And even that's tough to do.
Yeah, I believe it's actually using the same voice synthesizer also. The same exact thing.
Yeah, it does sound very much the same. eSpeak, maybe? Or
yep, that's it. Yeah, okay. That's it. Yep.
Yeah, I remember installing eSpeak in... which is pretty astonishing that a voice synthesizer will fit on whatever tiny little processor is in my Sansa Clip running Rockbox. that's pretty awesome. We're living in the future, let's be honest. But
yeah, seriously.
The future needs a better screen reader voice. All right. That's it. We should wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming on with me, Jonathan. And
oh, no problem. Thank you.
Walking me through that. And and thanks for letting me help out just a little bit. And I will see you at the Northeast Linux Fest on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'd like to thank everyone at HBO that has contributed already. There has been quite a few people, Ken Fallon and a bunch of other people. So thank you for everyone that has contributed. And, you know, like Pokey said, $5 will make a difference. If enough of you, you know, think that $5 can make a difference, it will make that difference. So.
Oh, God, yeah. Honestly, if every download donated $5, the $20,000 goal would be met. Instantly, in a day. It would be met in a day. That's even after PayPal gets its cut.
Yeah, it would, you know, no pressure. But again, every contribution that's coming has, you know, been highly appreciated, and I will do the best to what I can do with what I have. So,
oh, maybe but no, if anyone... Maybe no pressure from you, but from me, for sure.
Okay.
I'm pressuring people into this, because I know that you, dearest listener, I know you've gotten $5 worth of enjoyment out of HPR, and I know you didn't donate a show last year because we almost ran out, and I know you didn't donate a show yet this year because we're about to run out. But and I know maybe you don't have, you know, the money to fund a project, but I bet you got $5, and honestly, that's enough to fund this project if we all chip in and do it. And
yeah,
you know, and I have thrown my $5 in. Already, I did more than $5, but let's just say I did $5. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and, you know, I'm asking you as a personal favor, if you have any love for HBR whatsoever, to put your money where my mouth is also, and drop a couple bucks on accessible computing, drop a couple bucks on the Sonar project on Indiegogo.
Yeah, that's indiegogo.com/sonar.
All right, that's it. Thanks so much for listening, and there will be another Hacker Public Radio tomorrow. It probably won't be on the same subject. It probably won't be from the same host, but it really should be you. So record your show and get that in, please. All right. Adios.
See ya.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.